morning, church. You guys made it. You survived the storm, or you have made it through the storm to get here. I appreciate you guys being here. And, you know, it's awesome to be able to, you know, to come in and sing a song like Yahweh, where we realize that there is an anchor, no matter what the storms are in our life, that, man, He is solid, He is faithful, and it's just awesome to be able to worship Him. This morning we had a group of people, you know, who gathered and prayed this morning at 7 o'clock. And I was sharing with our staff and some of the team there. I said, you know, a lot of times we're in a breakneck rush. We're constantly on the go. And just to be able to go in and to get on your knees, or to kind of get on your face before the Lord to start your day, you know, and to have like an uninterrupted time of about 30 minutes. Man, it's incredible. And it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day. You know what I'm saying? So if you haven't joined us on Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock in the square, we gather in there for prayer. And we're praying. We're inviting God to come in and move among us and to change us and transform us. Today, that's what we're kind of talking about. We're talking about uncommon focus. And in a day, in an age, whenever there's so many things going on around us and, you know, things are changing and our world seems to be crazy in a lot of ways, it's hard sometimes to have a solid focus, to really have an uncommon focus. And so we look back even over this last week and we see some of the things that are taking place. Even today, a storm, you know, blowing around and a hurricane coming in and hitting, you know, when nobody, a lot of people didn't even know about it. I talked to a couple people and said, you know, hey, what's your thoughts on the storm? And they're like, what storm? You know, I'm like, dude, you not know there's a hurricane in the Gulf, you know? And so a lot of times we go through life distracted. You know, we've got distractions. There's things that are tugging at us. And oftentimes we lose focus on what matters most. And that can happen. You know, this past week, and many of you are familiar with the shooting that took place in Las Vegas. And let me just tell you, you know, when something like that, a horrible tragedy like that happens, there becomes almost immediate clarity as to what is most important. Immediate clarity as to what is most important. And sometimes what happens is we kind of get lulled asleep in life, and then something tragic has to rock our world, and then all of a sudden there's immediate clarity, and we realize there's something more important than things, than stuff. There's something more important that matters in His people's lives. It's the God who loves us. And so oftentimes, God uses those things. In the midst of that tragedy, God is at work and reminding people of what is most important. I saw a lot of people post after that, you know, love the people around you. Hug the people around you. You know, and I think it's important for us to have that mentality. Make the most of the moments. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so let's look at this passage here as we look at an uncommon focus. And this is out of Romans chapter 12. We've used this passage many times. And this is a great reminder. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Read that again. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There's often times, and if there's probably one question I hear more than anything else in ministry and in counseling, is, man, I just want to know God's will for my life. And that passage tells us that the more that we allow God to change our thinking and transform our thinking, we will be able to understand and even discern His will for our life, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I can remember, you know, whenever I first got saved, my mind had been focused on the world for 19 years. And, that was the pattern I was following. I was looking around at the people around me. I was looking around at the world around me. And I was just trying to follow that pattern. It wasn't about trying to live for God. It wasn't trying to live according to the Scriptures. But it was to follow that pattern that had been laid out by me. My dad was not a believer. And so I was following the pattern that he had laid out for me. My dad lived a certain way, and I was kind of following that pattern. And so what happens is, for many of us, we go through life, and that's the pattern that we were given. That is what is preached. That is what is proclaimed, it seems like, through the media and through TV and things like that. And so all of a sudden we go, well, that's the pattern. That's the American dream. That's whatever. And so we become fixated on that, and our thoughts and our focus and even our dreams are built around those things rather than what God's Word says. And I can remember coming to know Christ at the age of 19, and then as I grew in my faith, I began to think differently. I remember thinking differently about the people around me, worried about where they were going to spend eternity. I remember wondering, the first person I wanted to see get saved was my dad. I remember thinking, you know, I want to share the gospel. I want to share my faith with my dad. The very first person that popped into my mind. And then it would be friends that I knew, you know, were not believers, that were lost. Now, I remember I thought about them completely different than I did a week earlier or even a month earlier. I thought about them completely different. My thinking began to change. I thought differently about church. I mean, I thought church is where you went to meet girls and stuff almost, you know, growing up. I mean, that was kind of the way we did things. And if a girl invited you or whatever, you would go to that church to, you know, or go eat pizza afterwards. I thought that's what you, you know, you went to do that and then you went and ate pizza afterwards. And so my whole thinking began to change. Worship for me was different. See, I'd never worshiped in truth and in spirit before. And so as God began to change my thinking with the Word of God and with the, through the workings of the Holy Spirit, worship became something different. It wasn't something that I sat there and I tried to work my way through or try to just kind of make it through. So until we went to eat at Godfather's Pizza or Shakey's Pizza or whatever. But it was something that I began to engage in. My mind would engage in the lyrics of the songs. And so whenever I would sing a song that was like Yahweh, man, it moved me. It changed me. It had an impression on me. So my whole thinking began to change as a result of my relationship with Christ. For 19 years, I had thought a certain way, and then all of a sudden, God began to change the way that I thought. He changed the way that I thought about the church itself. You know, for years, I thought the church was, it was all about the building. And then God began to change my mind into thinking it's about the people. It's the gathering. It's the people that make up the church. But for 19 years, I thought it was a building. I thought that's what you did. You went to the church. And then I began to understand, and God began to change my thinking. And that's what He wants to do in us. And so I wanted to kind of lay out a couple of things here, and I'm on, and I want us to look at a couple of different patterns. I know last week we talked about a pattern for dating almost, or kind of the world's pattern for relationships. And I want us to look at the world's pattern here and then compare it to God's pattern. So the first thing here, if you've got your outline, talks about the world's pattern. The world's pattern is a me first mentality. The world's pattern is me first. You know, and so oftentimes it's, you know, hey, you need to think about you first. It's about you. You know, make sure that you're happy. Make sure that it's all about you. And that's not what God, that's not the pattern that God gives us. God gives us this pattern. And so God, in God's pattern, if you will throw that up here, is God first. Seek first God, His kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. And so we often grow up thinking it's a me mentality. You know, that's the pattern of this world. But whenever we become a new believer or a Christian, we begin to say, God, you know, I want you to change the way I think. And we realize, you know what, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about loving Him with everything that's in us, loving Him with all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our ability, everything that we've got, we do it to honor Him. And here's the incredible thing about how God's pattern works best is if we seek to love God with everything that is, here's the thing, we will love people better. We'll love our wife. We'll love our husband. We'll love our spouse. We'll love our kids. We'll love our friends even more than we ever could have before. When God begins to change the way we think, because we're saying, God, I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want to praise you in everything that I do. And so, God, I want you to be first in my life. And so, with a me-first mentality, we become selfish. And let me go ahead and tell you, that damages relationships. We become self-centered, self-absorbed, self-seeking. Everything's about us. That destroys relationships. But whenever we begin to seek God, we realize that, you know what, we are to serve others. We're to love God and love others. Love God and love others. And the incredible thing about how God's economy works is whenever I seek to honor Him and I seek to honor others, God meets my needs. He has this incredible way of meeting the needs that I have. Now, here's the second one. The world's pattern tells us, hate your enemies. That you're to hate your enemies. You know, in this world, we're to hate our enemies. Man, we're to just wish bad things upon them. And it doesn't matter if it's an enemy across the ocean, like ISIS or something like that. But it's one of those things where, you know, hey, my enemy at school who's running for student council president, you know, and hey, that's my enemy. That's my arch rival. That's my whatever. Or if it's your team across town and you're going to be playing them in a ball game, you know, all of a sudden you say, man, I hate that school. You know, that's our mentality. We hate them. Hey, and if we even have to cheat to beat them, we'll do that. And so the mentality ought to be what God says is that we're to love your enemies. And let me tell you, that's hard for some of us to get our mind around. Some of the people that you consider your enemies, God says to pray for. We're to love them enough that we want them to come to the saving grace of the gospel, to receive Christ, that they might be changed and that their destination for eternity would be heaven instead of hell. So whoever your worst enemy is in life, the one that you feel like they're just an enemy of me, I don't care if it's your ex-wife, your ex-husband, whoever it may be, God says that you're to love them, pray for them, intercede for them. That's tough. You think about some of our military families who, whenever they read Scripture, it says to pray for your enemies, the ones that we're sending guys over to fight, to fight for our freedom so that we can gather. That's tough. But I'm just telling you, it's an uncommon love that God has for us and God has for our enemies. And so we have to have that mentality. God, I pray that you'll change their hearts. Whenever we think about ISIS, you know, or places like that, maybe what we ought to be doing is say, God, I pray for missionaries. I pray for somebody that will share the gospel. I pray that they will come to a supernatural knowledge of you and your son, Jesus Christ. God, I'm praying that that would happen. Here's the thing, it can, and it has. And so the thing is, we need to be praying for those things and praying for God to change hearts. Change hearts. Here's the thing. Everything that we deal with, even like the shooting last week, it's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. And so we've got to be praying for God, change their hearts, change their way of thinking. And then here's the third thing in the world's pattern. It says sacrifice others for what we want. Sacrifice others for what we want. It doesn't matter who you have to step on. You know, sometimes it's a dog-eat-world, you know, dog-eat-dog world. You got to be willing to do whatever it takes. Man, sometimes you have to just leave people laying behind. You know, and so that's the world's pattern, is sacrifice others for what we want. And, you know, and I know some of y'all are probably thinking a career thing. Well, it may be that, you know what, you need to quit sacrificing your family for your hobbies. Maybe you need to quit sacrificing, you know, your shopping for your family. And too often what we do is we sacrifice others for what we want. We want what we want, and that's the selfish, self-absorbed mentality that this flesh cries out for. But the Spirit says, hey, be willing to bless others. Be willing to serve others. Be willing to give to others. So, sacrifice others for what we want. In God's economy, this is what it looks like. Sacrifice for others for what they need. Sacrifice for others for what they need. And so, in other words, for us, If we understand God's pattern, God says to be willing to sacrifice, to give sacrificially. You know, in just a few weeks, we're going to be doing what we call the Big Give Offering. And the Big Give Offering is something that we do every year. And we ask everybody to pray about what God would have them give that is a sacrifice. To be honest with you, we don't want it to be just kind of an easy stroke of check deal. We want it to be a sacrifice for everybody. And so the thing is, it should be equal sacrifice, not equal amounts. There's some in here who could give 1,000. There's someone here that could give probably 50,000. But the thing is some may be only able to give 50 or 100, but it's all a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice to give to that. You know what that ministry goes to, or what that offering goes to? All of our missions and outreach that we do for the year. And so between now and then, one of the great things that you ought to be doing is saying, God, what is it that you want me to give as a sacrifice that's going to cost me, that I'm going to feel it? God, that what can I give towards the Big Give Offering that will make a difference in the lives of others? What can I give that will make a difference in the lives of others? And so what we've got to understand is that whenever we sacrifice, what God is saying, sacrifice for others so that others might have a Bible. Sacrifice that others might have food. And I'm not talking about like wasted food. I'm talking about like just enough to sustain them. Sacrifice that others might have clean water. You know, we have such an abundance of water here in our nation. And, you know, we take long showers. We take hot showers. We take all these things. Listen, there are places in the world where people have to walk and carry water on top of their head in 5-gallon buckets for miles. Kids do it. Women do it. And so it's one of those things that we've got to be willing to say, you know, God, maybe I can sacrifice, you know, this hobby that I have, or this toy that I wanted, or whatever it might be, so that people can eat and so people can drink clean water. And maybe they can get medicine. I can remember when we went to Africa, we had a guy that had been burned in an accident. And the guy came to us, Ken Gagnon came to me and Laurie and I, and he said, hey, listen, he goes, do you guys have any ibuprofen? He said, over here, he said, it's almost like miracle medicine. And we were like, yeah. So we gave him a whole thing of it. And he said, and so he began to dole it out in little packets, whatever, to give to people. Because over there, they just don't have ibuprofen everywhere like we do. Do we think, nothing else, hey, go pop a couple of ibuprofen. It's not that way in places. And so little bitty things like that we take for granted. And so the thing is when we sacrifice, when we give sacrificially to missions, we're touching lives all over the globe. We're making a difference all over the globe. And so we've got to be willing to invest in those things. And so it's sacrificing for others for what they need. Not necessarily for what they want, but for what they need. And then here's the other. The world's pattern is acquire and accumulate. And so the world's pattern is acquire all that you can, accumulate. If you need storage, go rent some more storage. You know, go build a bigger barn. Go do whatever you got to do. But you know what? You want to acquire all that you can before you leave here. And here's the thing. We don't take any of it with us. We don't take any of it with us. We might leave it for someone. We might leave it to our kids. And here's the thing. An inheritance is a blessing is what the Bible says. So if you want to give your kids an inheritance, man, that's an awesome thing. That's a blessing. Unless it's going to lead to their detriment. Too often we see kids who receive something that never have to work for things. And often, you know, they just kind of fall apart. They just don't know how to handle that. So our thing is to prepare them for life whenever we're not here. To do everything we can to hand off things to them well so that they can be prepared for what's ahead. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with an inheritance, but we will not take it with us. But that's our mentality so often is acquire all that you can and accumulate stuff. When Jesus modeled just the opposite of that. He said, foxes have holes and, you know, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to even lay his head. In other words, he didn't accumulate stuff. He didn't gather together all the goodies. You know, even from the carpenter shop, he didn't haul his tools around with him. He said, you know what? The kingdom is enough. And so God's mentality is bless and give. World's pattern is acquire and accumulate. God's pattern is to bless and give. I don't know if you've ever blessed somebody, especially whenever they don't know it's you. There's something special about blessing someone. Whenever you can give to someone and they don't know it's you, and they're just like, man, look what God has provided. And He did. He provided it through you. You become a channel of blessing. And and here's the thing. A lot of us, you know, we like to be on the receiving end. Some of you guys have the gift or the spiritual love language. You know, you like gifts. And so every time you get a gift, you get a big smile. You're like, man, that's awesome. You get excited about that. You love gifts. Well, here's the thing is, you ought to be on the giving end of that sometimes. And say, you know what, who can I bless with something? You know, the other day, I was going through a drive-thru, and I pulled up to the drive-thru, and actually, and I think I've shared this with you guys, but I was going to get breakfast for somebody who had been really just giving of themselves and doing a lot. And so I wanted to get them breakfast and just kind of surprise them. So I stopped by, and I pulled up to the window, and young girl comes to the window. She goes, are you Pastor Mike? And I said, I am. And she said, well, your meal's taken care of. And I was thinking, you know, isn't that just like God? You can't outgive Him. You know, here I am wanting to bless somebody, and God blesses me. And it was just one of those cool moments to go, you know what, God, thank you for the blessing. So somebody was the channel of blessing. I got to be the channel of blessing. And so when was the last time that you got to be part of the blessing in someone's life? You know, I'm telling you, it's an awesome thing to be able just to give and not expect anything in return. And here's the thing, that's the hardest part is whenever you can just give and let it go. Give and walk away. Let it be a blessing. Don't expect anything in return. I remember years ago there was a TV show called Wings, and one of the girls, you know, she's in there and she gets a necklace from a friend of hers, and the friend is like, you know, it's kind of like, well, I didn't get you anything, kind of mentality, and all of a sudden she goes and she gets something, and then it got to be like they were having to one up, trying to outdo the other one. That's not giving, that's competition, you know. And so we need to have that mentality. Man, I just want to give. It's not a competition. I just want to bless. It's not a competition. And then here's the other, the world's pattern. The focus is on things of this world. The world's pattern is on things of this world. It's money, stuff, recognition, popularity. You know, always wanting attention, it seems. But God's focus is on the things of God. In God's pattern, it is the things of God, it is the things of the kingdom. It's those things that last for eternity. See, too often the things of this world are a focus on the things that will only last in this world. And so, you know what? And most of those things don't even last. The Bible talks about how, you know, we get so focused on things that will rust and decay. You know, we worry about fashions and we worry about clothing and we worry about all kinds of things. And the Bible teaches us over and over, hey, listen, don't focus on those things. Don't worry about those things. Don't fret over those things. Focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on sharing the love of God. Focus on caring for one another. Focus on the teaching of God's Word. Focus on the faithfulness of God. And too often what we do is we focus on the things of this world. And so here's this next statement. It says, too often we focus on stuff. In Matthew 6, 31 through 34, if you ever get a chance, go back and maybe read that chapter. And this is Jesus talking. And he's talking about how people worry about things and they get caught up in all this stuff. But look at what he says. Don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat and what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. And what Jesus is saying, hey, listen, quit worrying about those things. Quit fretting over those things. And I was talking with someone this past week who was talking about they just get so anxious and worked up over finances. You know, but the thing is we've got to handle our finances in a godly way. The way that God's Word says. Not the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is go borrow, go get in debt, keep doing whatever. Hey, and listen, if this debt-to-income ratio works out, go get it. That's the world's pattern. But that is not what God's pattern is. God says, do not be a slave to the lender. But yet we continue to do those things. We follow the pattern of this world. And so too often our focus is on stuff, not on God's Word, not on the things of the kingdom. You know, it's about pleasure, immediate pleasure. You guys ever in here ever had buyer's regret? Anybody? Buyer's regret? Man, am I the only one? Man, I bought a car one time for Lori. We were living in Texas and she didn't even really want a car, but she just said she would like to have one. And I'm one of those where I like, if somebody wants, I want to try to get it for them. I just want to bless them. And I had a nice little Nissan pickup that was, you know, almost paid off. It was one of those things where I went and I traded that truck in. I got her a car. And I'm talking about like a day later, I'm like, why in the world did I give up my truck? And number two, I don't even like this car that much. It didn't ride well. You know, it was too light. And I'm thinking, why did I do that? And so for about 6 months, I had to live in regret. You ever had to do that? You purchase something like, man, why did I spend that money? Why did I do that? And thank goodness I was able to sell that car, get out from under the debt, and got into something that was way more reasonable. And so sometimes we have buyer's regret. So we have to say, you know what, man, I don't want to be focused on the things that are going to put me in regret. I want to be able to focus on those things that are going to make a difference for eternity. So staying focused on the kingdom. And that's what Jesus said. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. It's not everything you want, it's everything you need. And so too often we're focused on our wants rather than just our needs. And here's a second thing. The Spirit is able to do what the flesh could never do. I want you to listen to this. It says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this just that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful natures, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Now, there's a lot in that passage. There's a lot in that passage. And here's one thing I want you to understand. Too often we think about, hey, we need to follow the letter of the law. We need to make sure that we don't do anything wrong that the Bible says is wrong. And what Paul is saying here is he's writing. He said, listen, what the law revealed is that we cannot be good enough. We can't follow every letter of the law. And that's why we needed grace. That's why we needed God's grace. That's the reason God sent his Son, to make sure that we were in right standing with him. He satisfied the debt. He paid the bill. And here's the thing. He said, it's not what we do. It's what we receive. It's when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's when we receive Jesus himself that we become children of God. And here's the thing is, once we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and we say, you know, Holy Spirit, come and live within me, dwell within me, guide me, lead me, give me direction. And so whenever we submit and surrender that, we begin to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to saturate my thinking with the things of God. And so listen to it again. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. How many of us need more life and more peace in our life? Then maybe it's because our thinking is being controlled by human nature. Maybe it's because we're thinking on the things of this world. We're thinking on the things of the flesh. And what if we were to say, you know what? Every morning we get up and we get on our knees and we say, God, I give you this day. Holy Spirit, I need you to saturate my mind. I need you to help me think on the things of God. Help me to see the glasses half full instead of half empty. Help me to see the blessings in this day rather than the things that I'm dealing with. God, help me to focus on the fact that you are the anchor in the storm and not to focus on the storm. God, help me to focus on the things that matter forever. And what happens is too often we focus on the distractions. We look at the waves. We look at the wind. And we're no different than disciples. It's a very human nature thing. But he said, hey, listen, do something supernatural. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And so for us to have uncommon focus is going to take an uncommon God showing his uncommon love and filling with us with his uncommon Holy Spirit. No one else has that. And this is what I love. It says, unbelievers can't do this. Those who have not accepted Christ, those who do not have the Holy Spirit living within them, they can't do this. But you can. For every believer, we're called to be set apart. We're called to be different. Look at this next passage here. It's one of my favorite scripture references. I share this so often. But in the presence of God, we discover the peace of God. And so maybe you're one of those people who you just need a little peace today. You feel like my life is in turmoil. My mind is in turmoil. My heart is in turmoil. It says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Look at this. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's a commanding text there. You say, hey, listen, don't choose to focus on these others. We have a choice. As believers, as followers of Christ, we have a choice. We can get caught up in the distractions. We can kind of get caught up into other things that really don't matter. Or either we can focus on things that matter forever. I remember different times through life whenever Lori would be talking to me. And, you know, I've joked about the TV watching a football game or something like that. But there'd be times she would be talking to me and she'd be like, are you listening? I'm like, yeah. But I really wasn't. I was distracted. My mind was other places. And, you know, and she probably saw it in my face or my eyes that I had drifted off. Like, hey, you here? You listening? And I can do that to y'all sometimes on Sunday morning. Hey, you listening? So, but that's what she would do. Because she knew I was distracted. My mind had drifted off. I was somewhere else. And she wanted me in the moment. She wanted me to listen to her. And so what happens is a lot of times we go through life distracted. We're focused on all these other things. And we miss the most important things. And like I said, if you go back to the shooting. And I can't tell you how many times I heard people say, this reminds you of what's most important. This reminds you about relationships. This reminds you, you know, to say you love the people that are in your life. And so sometimes God uses the storms in life to remind us there's something that's more important than stuff. But if we want the peace of God, it's found in the presence of God. In the presence of God in our life. Presence of God in our mind. The Holy Spirit working even in our mind, in our thoughts, so that we think on the things of God. This next statement here, it says, we're to have a kingdom focus. All of this that we've been talking about has been building towards this. But we're to have a kingdom focus. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about Mike's kingdom. It's not about your kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, this is for the believer. If you're in here and you've accepted Christ, you become a believer, you're a follower of Christ, then here's the thing, this is for you. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So that's speaking to us as believers. Hey, don't be so focused on this world down here. You know, I'll set my mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. I'll think about heavenly things. I'll think about the things of God. I'll think about eternal things, not so focused on the things of this world. And so we're to have a kingdom focus. And this last one, we're to focus on Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So what it's saying is, hey, listen, we've got a task in here. We've got a part in here. And let me read it again. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off everything every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And what it's saying, hey, listen, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Maybe it's the, hey, in Hebrews, he's talking about the faith hall of fame, those that have gone before us, those that are maybe have experienced this, and we're to draw encouragement from how they lived. But also, I think it's the body of Christ that we look around and we realize, you know what, man, we have been set free. Man, we have been made whole. We have been healed. You know what? And as we look around, we are encouraged. Whenever I sit around, the other night I had a group of men in my home on a Tuesday night. We were doing some training for ministry to men. As I looked around the room, I saw how those men have changed and been transformed by the Word of God and by the teaching of God's Word and by applying God's Word in their life. And I realized, you know what? God has been doing a great work in these men's lives. And I've watched them change and be transformed, and their thinking is different than it was when I first met them. And so for me, they have literally taken this and they've applied it, and they begin to throw some things off, and they begin to drop some things. And some parts of their life that once were controlled by the pattern of this world, they're now saying, you know what? I want the pattern of God. I want to lead my family well. I want to serve my church well. I want to serve my community well. I want to make a difference in the lives of men. And so the thing is that their thinking has been changed. It's been transformed by the Word of God. Their focus is on the kingdom of God, and their focus is on being like Jesus. And here's the thing, none of us have accomplished perfection yet. We are pressing on. We are looking towards Jesus and saying, Jesus, make us more like you. Even this past week, man, I've blown it in my own life going, you know, I get aggravated or frustrated, you know, and I need, my family needs me right now to be patient and to be kind. And there's times when I'll get agitated, you know, and I'm like, man, I've got to let that go. That's the flesh. I need the Spirit to lead me. And so we've got to have that mentality that we throw off, and we have a part, and that is called confession. God, I confess these sins to you. God, I confess to you that I haven't been leading like I should. God, I confess to you that I've been focused on material things. God, I confess to you that I haven't sacrificed. God, I confess that I haven't tithed. God, I confess that I don't give. God, I confess that I'm selfish. And so, God, I want to confess those things, but I want to repent of those. I want to turn from those things. God, I want to turn to you, and I want you to fill me up with the things of God. God, I want to be focused on the kingdom of God. I want to be focused on things that matter for a lifetime, and not just this lifetime, but an eternal lifetime. So, God, I want you to work in me. And then it says, and then let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He is the model. It's not any other man. It's not any other pastor. It's not any other person. But it is Jesus that is our model. That is who we look to. He is the standard. And we look to Him, and we try to become as much like Him as we can, and we hope that others will see Jesus in us. Talks about next steps down here. Maybe the next step for you is to confess. It says, I need to confess my sins of greed and materialism. Maybe that doesn't apply to you. But I just know for so many in this world, in this day and time, it's rampant. And so maybe you just need to confess a sin of greed and materialism. Maybe there's something else that God has put His finger on in your heart. Maybe it's just your selfishness. That God said, you know what? You need to confess that. You need to lay it down. Here's the next one. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior by faith. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You've never received Jesus. And so here's the thing. You don't have Him working in you. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you and changing the way you think. If you've never received Christ, you've never accepted Jesus, and He doesn't live within you, here's the thing. You don't have the authority. You don't have the power to overcome any of that the way that someone who has accepted Christ does. And here's the next one. I will surrender to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, sometimes that's the toughest one. We feel His nudge. We feel His touch. Some of you, even right now, you feel Him dealing with you. You feel Him nudging you. And here's the thing. You're already negotiating with Him about, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. I'll talk to somebody else, or I'll handle that later. But God, the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I want you to do business right now. And then the last one, I want to focus each day this week on God's kingdom. I wonder if your week would be any different this week if you focused on God's kingdom. Would it be different than what it was last week? If every day that you get up and you say, God, I want you to help me to be focused on your kingdom. Jesus, I want you to help me be focused on you. I want to fix my eyes on you. And Jesus, I want you to help me be more like you. With my wife, with my husband, with my kids, with my friends, with my boss, with my coworker, God, with my community, with my church. God, I want to be more like Jesus. And I realize I can't do that without Him living in me. Because it's Jesus living in us that allows us to become like Him. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes.